Well, you may have heard about this story that happened in Burlington, Vermont. Palestinian students there targeted. They were shot during a Thanksgiving celebration. There's an arrest made of a guy named Jason Eaton on charges of attempted second-degree murder. But, Kevin, this could turn into a hate crime, particularly if these Palestinian individuals were targeted for the fact that they were simply Palestinians.
Yeah, that's what officials are looking at. They're trying to determine if this had anything to do with the war that's going on between Israel and Hamas right now. And they're looking at potential hate crime charges here. Joining us now is Todd Flood, attorney at Flood Law. Good morning, Todd. How are you?
Good morning, guys. I'm great.
Appreciate you being here. Law enforcement officials have to sort of figure this out. They know they have a murder, but how do they get to the motive?
Well, the attempted murder. So, actually, you know, hate crime under the federal statute is one thing. Under the state crime in Vermont, like Michigan, it's an enhancement, not as penal if he was charged in a federal case, but they got to look as though the motive for this particular attempted murder was based on that of what is obvious here, the national origin. There's specific hate crimes of race and sex and the discriminatory civil rights acts. Here in this particular case, it's clear, you know, that this these three gentlemen were enjoying their break, walking to down the street and speaking both in Arabic and in English. This shooter comes up from behind and ultimately lays into him multiple shots. One young man, unfortunately, very sadly so, is sustaining life-threatening injuries or, you know, permanent injuries of spinal issues. So anyway, at the end of the day, if this were to be charged, I think it would be better charged or better served in a federal court in a federal charge because it's much more penal. It can carry up to a life sentence, a minimum of up to 10 years. But when a gun is used and these injuries are sustained in an attempted murder, it can carry a much more penal case. The attempt murder in Vermont is only a 20-year statute, and, you know, he's not going to serve 20 years unless they can find an enhancement. And that's going to be done, guys, by looking at the computer, looking at the digital footprint of this man and all of his
social media posts, that kind of thing, right? So, yeah, what legal precedents exist? Does there have to be some utterance at the scene of the crime of hate, or can they pull something from the internet in the past and use that to show that? Is there legal precedent for that?
Yeah, you don't have to say anything. You don't have to express words. He, in fact, didn't say anything. Yeah, there is precedent for, you know, lying in wait and making a plan, scheme, thoughts. Absolutely. Ethnic intimidation is what we have here in the state of Michigan. And there's been several crimes that were committed by ethnic intimidation where no words were spoken at the time of the crime, but were done prior to with planning and scheming. Here, you know, it is obviously a factor that needs to be considered as far as his motive goes and why he did what he did. These gentlemen were wearing basically traditional scarves, and the fact that they were talking in Arabic and they come from a national origin, minding their own business and having just piece of enjoying company, walking down the street. And let's just look at facts and reality. I mean, you just had in Chicago an infant murdered, you know, because the landlord, you know, didn't want a Muslim in the household. I mean, the rage that is going on is exponential. It's proliferated throughout our country and throughout the world. right now because of this war. And it's scary to the extent that we have to stop it.
Can you compare cases when you're a prosecutor? Can you say this happened in Chicago, this happened here in Burlington or Vermont? I wouldn't imagine that's something they can hang. You're right about that. The hatred is exponentially higher than it was even just a couple months ago on both sides of this.
Sure.
So I guess what I'm getting at is when you look at the hate crime aspect of this, I guess you said that he didn't say anything to it, but by the perception of it, that if they weren't doing anything, they were just minding their own business, the perception is that they were targeted because of the way they were dressed. Absent, if they don't find any social media activity from this guy, or there are any statements anywhere in his, you know, digital footprint or whatnot, or any affiliations that would indicate any type of bias against it, what do they have to go on to classify this as a hate crime? Other than those things?
So that's going to be the $64 million question. This guy doesn't have a past as far as past crimes or acts. So the absence of him not shooting, you know, someone dressed in the with a keffiyeh or with, you know, the basic solidarity thoughts of the regular garb or regular dress of someone with Arabic or Muslim descent, you know, he doesn't have those past acts. He hasn't shot, but all of a sudden, out of the blue, he does this particular act. And, you know, it clearly looks, sounds, walks, talks like a duck. It, you know, is circumstantially there. However, Tom, you bring up a great point. Unless there is some competent evidence that you can introduce at a trial, then, you know, you're going to stick with the 20-year offense of the attempted murder times three, right? And the felony firearm punishment. But I can assure you this thought, this pattern, unless he is, you know, he said to the police, I was expecting you when they arrested him, right? He wasn't howling at the moon. He wasn't, you know, pouring milk over his head. So he doesn't have an insanity defense. Right. It's not that he didn't know the difference between right and wrong. So I can assure you there's going to be some modicum, some small sliver of a digital footprint or writing or a diary or something that this man had towards hatred of people from, you know, the Arabic or Muslim descent. And it's, you know, if it's not there, then it's even more disturbing because he has such mental incapacity to form what's right and wrong. How did we not know about him sooner, right? How did he just come out of the blue? So my thought is that there has to be something there. It's just going to be good old fashioned police work and solid, you know, dog on the bone, trying to figure out what caused and what the root of this heinous, ugly crime was. And I got to believe that, you know, with the feds on it, that they will, you know, dig deep. And we have to just to set the, you know, people straight around the country that this cannot be tolerated in any way, shape or form.
Yeah, it's going to come, I'm sure, from testimony, too. I'm sure they'll be digging deep. I know he's got a mother who says she's a very religious person, so they'll be interviewing her. They already have Eden's mother. But I'm sure that's going to be a pretty significant factor in the investigation as well, the testimony from people who knew this guy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, yeah. You know, there's different forms of evidence, right? There's direct evidence for that, what you see. There's circumstantial evidence for which, you know, it's raining outside, but you're not outside, and someone comes in with an umbrella with raindrops. It's circumstantial evidence that it was raining. So they're going to have physical, circumstantial, and direct evidence in all three forms, competent enough to introduce it at an exam or a trial.
Yeah, but it's a tough.
I think the feds want it.
Yeah, it's a tough case, but like you said, there'll be dogs on a bone on this one. Appreciate it very much. Todd Flood, attorney at Flood Law. Always appreciate having you. Thank you.
Guys, thanks for having me.
All right, have a good one. All right, quick break back after that. 760 WJR.